Good morning, good noon, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's your Linda here again, bringing you the new episode of Opera Bears. That's where you live, but if you celebrate Good Friday and Easter, happy holidays. I had a very great 4 days long weekend, but however, having more time doesn't help with my procrastinate the nature.And I was eating too much chocolate for this whole week, which is totally not a good thing, and I don't recommend any of you guys to take chocolate as a main dish. Talks about chocolate. Do you know one animal that can't eat chocolate? Right, of course a swallow. Oh, that's a really bad joke for an intro. But however, we have Puccini's re-performed opera La Rodin today.We're finally back to some Puccini's opera that's about 2 hours, not including intermission. In case of La Rondin, it is supposed to be an operetta when people from Carr Theater first commissioned Puccini, and they promised Puccini that, oh, this is an operetta, but not that operetta. You don't have to include any dialogue there. Just make it...sounds more interesting and funny, makes it like comic opera. Just to clarify, comic opera does contain dialogues, but from what I believe in, under that situation, they didn't think of it. So Puccini did, and took that commission, but however, World War I broke everything. The premiere didn't went through as was expected. They moved to another theater,Grand Theater de Monte Carlo and premiered on the March 27th of 1917. But it isn't a success. From a present perspective, it is due to the fact that the other Puccini's work were too successful, thus people intentionally ignored La Rodin. Another interesting thing I found is when Met Opera was doing the advertisement,They emphasized La Rodin with the word rare, which did interest me. Technically, since it is still a Puccini's work, it isn't that rare in the whole opera world. But however, there has to be a reason when one work out of one of the most famous opera composers is rare performed. And the reason being, it is not that good at that time.And it appears to be the problem that, similar to most of the Met Opera new productions are having, being halfly old but not quite old. It doesn't represent any good creative characteristic of a revolutionary and overtime opera should have. But at same time, those weird new stuff makes it unable to characterize as a normal great opera.One of the great thing about this opera is that the libretto is super funny, since it is supposed to be an operetta or more like a comic opera. And as other rare thing to see in Puccini's work, even though main characters broke up at the end, but no one died, yay! Let me just briefly summarize the story. The courtesan.If you don't know, courtesan means a high-level prostitute, Magda. She hosts a cocktail party, and the poet Prunier talks about his love theory and his uncompleted work. Magda completes the song for him. Magda's long-term protector's friend Saul Rigoro comes. They recommend him to go to a bar, Bulliers. Magda decides she's going to hide her identity and also go.Act 2 transferred us to Bulliers, a bar bustling with students and artists. Magda met Rigoro there. They have a great chat. But that long-term protector of Magda found her. Magda decides to announce her love of Rigoro. In Act 3, Magda and Rigoro live together in a happy life. Rigoro introduces Magda to his family through letters.His mom wants them to visit her. Magda can no longer hide her secret of her past life as a courtesan. Thus, she doesn't think she can be a good wife for Riguro, so she leaves. And Riguro is like, oh, you left me, oh! And like, he's endorsing a mental breakdown. My overall conclusion of everything I thought yesterday is boring. Just like the way I talk in this whole episode is like not that energetic because I'm kind of sick. The opera itself is good. It's great, but not at the level that's enough to cover all of the tedious stuff Matt did. I enjoy the sense of humor that's inside those recitatives. I could hear people, including myself, laughing for the whole opera. Talks about laughing or like the sound that the audience makes. I was sitting next to a couple who's first introduced to opera. I mean, basically, that's the worst situation that you can ever imagine. They talk for the whole time. The man is trying to show off his knowledge of like classical music or opera or like architecture. So he's like, babe, this is a violin. This is a viola. These are string instruments. These are wind instruments. So I did the cleverest thing ever. I told them, you see, here's the conductor, here's the opera singer, now you can please shut the fuck up. Well, that's my characteristic. Enough for those random stories, let's jump into the opera. From the first few minutes of the first act, I immediately realized that opera doesn't fit my expectations. First is the setting. They have a few orders, not shopping order or the verb, but in the meaning of architecture and internal furniture. And a random Egyptian background that seems like they are able to reuse it in Aida next year. What's even worse is the music. We need a luxurious and little bit equivocal vibe in a party hosted by a courtesan, my friend. I'm really surprised that no one actually reviews too much on the conductor, because like before I write any script for my podcast, I do research and I see how people judge, people comment or critic on this opera to organize my language better. At least I would take the orchestra as a part of the curriculum besides singing. One of the arias I want to mention is Gei Besogno di Dolore. Excuse my pronunciation. Translated into English is Husarika's Beautiful Dream. Let's hear it from Angela Grillo. That's basically it. I hope you like it. I forgot to mention, but Dorito is the character the poet made up for his story. She reveals the king and value true love over everything. That's a really hard aria. A lot of sopranos have seen it before. It is really hard to master because it takes a lot of emotion of the differences between the Magda and Dorita characters before. The dynamic of the line, "Oh, mi vida," in this aria is marked PP, pianissimo or pianissimo in American pronunciation. Very soft, very hard. This aria really highlights the whole complacency in Act 1, and that's a really great aria. I do like Angel Blue, who sung Magda, but do I think she fit the role? Probably not. She's definitely not a good choice for a female character that has a lot of love of vanity, but a desire for true love. With those complex emotions and impulsiveness, Blue has some shades of heroism in her voice and a straightforward, sexy vibe. A lot of other roles will definitely be better option for her instead of a 20th century French courtesan. Blue is just charming in another way. However, another question with her voice is when she's singing, her voice representation is a little bit unstable. It goes up and down a lot when it is supposed to be kept. Second act is the act that seems most problematic to me. The chorus is kinda off. They do need more practices. Especially when they first enter Act 2, the fact that they are not together makes the bar 50% less attractive. Besides that, the orchestra sounds really sad. It's more like a funeral than a bar. I mean, I never went to a bar before, but okay, let's just say it this way. They definitely need to be more energetic. But from Act 2, the singing becomes great after the awkward orchestra. Emily Pogorek, who plays Lissity, Magda's maid, and Bugsel Dovoronov, who plays Premier, made their debut in La Ronding. They are just really great, as this is not their debut. They both bring a sparkling performance full of emotion and passion to the audience, injects a lot of fresh energy into this boring performed opera. On the other hand, the other couple, Angel Blue and Jonathan Tiedemann, both are very experienced singers, internationally recognized, but I couldn't see love in their interactions, as if everything was a design plot and they were just performing. The stage design is as cheap as usual. They put up several decks and those orders are still there, and that's it. The thing that makes me want to laugh is that they rely on the chorus people to hold the sequence in their hands and sparkle them manually in the last few minutes of the act. The third act is the emotional climax of the whole opera, but unfortunately enough, because we can't see any sparkle of love between Blue and Tiedemann, nothing is interesting there. And the background is a random vegetable shade. They just open and close and open the doors to try to make it seem different. That's an actor from the Act 3 aria. 마구메 보여라세세미. That's a recording from Joe Grill and Papao with the London Symphony Orchestra. That aria is the Rokoff aria, I wanna say. Translated to English, it is "But How Can You Leave Me?" It is the aria when Rigaud begged Magda to not to leave him, but Magda was like, "No, I must leave you for your good." I just don't think that Tiedemann is a good choice for Rigaud. I believe Pinkerton from Madame Butterfly will be way more better. The thing is, Tiedemann's voice doesn't contain that much of emotion that's required for this opera, in which I think Pinkerton, which is a ruthless American, in my belief, is a better choice for him. My overall conclusion is the lifeless orchestra, repetitious and cheap stage design, and the unsuitable singers all contribute to the fact that I'm falling asleep. Please do consider before you purchase the ticket. Don't hesitate to go if you just want to see this rare performed opera go live. But if you're expecting more than this, stay home and watch recordings will definitely be a better choice. Thank you for listening. Now I have two things on my list. One is a second episode on Romeo and Juliet. I finished my script last week, but I was like, oh, let me record and publish this before it isn't too late, but I forgot. And yesterday was the last performance of it, and I do feel sorry about that. The second thing is to review on the Exterminating Angel by the Paris Opera House. The only thing I can say before officially review on it is it is an interesting opera. And as always, if you have any question, comment, opinion on what I said, or just want to talk to me, please email olinatown@gmail.com. It is AULINDATANG@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening, and sorry for my voice for being like this because I'm a little bit sick. It was raining on Thursday, and I don't have an umbrella, and I was forced to run 2 miles for some like extra credit for gym. Whatever. Thank you so much for listening again, and see you in my next episode. Bye. I don't actually have anything to say at this point, but the Exterminating Angel is very interesting. And I kind of have a lot of ideas on how can I write my script, but let's see how things goes. And bye, see you next episode. Have a great day. And please don't be like me running in rain because it is really not a great thing. Even if you have a strong immune system, that still doesn't work. Bye!